Awesome. Well, good morning. As you already heard earlier, today is Go Team Sunday. And also, as we already talked about earlier, it's been an odd week. It's this weird week where we were getting back to normal, and then it was not a normal week at all. Even though this is a strange week, in some ways, as Tim and I were talking about it, it felt like there may be something appropriate about having a week that reminds us that there's needs beyond our own homes to remind us of God's calling for us outward as we talk about our global outreach teams today. And so some of you are kind of used to this, but I'm up here with Tim Longo, our illustrious pastor of outreach. Yeah. A lot of fanfare for Tim.
I know. First service, I got two.
That's true. He was just hoping for three.
I know.
So you guys exceeded.
Yeah.
But we're going to walk through our theme for this year. And this is always an exciting time because we not only walk through our theme that we feel like God has led us to, but we also talk about where we're going this year with our global outreach teams. But Tim, I know you and your team, you spend time praying and thinking about themes and theme verses, and the theme verse that we have for this year that Ryan just read for us is Romans 15:13. I'd love for you to share just what led your heart as you and the team prayed about it to this particular verse and this theme.
Yeah, so as we considered just Go Teams in general this year, our main goal, or one of our main focuses, was to get more people involved. People that have not been on teams, for whatever reason, we were just hoping to get them to listen to the call of God and have them as part of one of the Go Teams this year. And it got me thinking about like my first Go Team that I went on with LBF in 2014 to Nicaragua to help drill a clean water well. 2013, the team had gone for the first time, and they talked about the team and how wonderful it was, and I leaned over to my wife, and I'm like, hey, I think I want to go on that again, if they go next year. And so they announced it the next year, felt an elbow, and like, you said you want to do it, you feel like God's calling you. So I signed up to do that. And during that time, I was helping coach my son's baseball team, which, if you know me, is hilarious. But I was talking to some of the other coaches, just kind of letting them know what I was going to be doing, where I was going to be going, and kind of expected, you know, a little bit of fanfare, maybe some praise about how wonderful of a person I am for going to someplace and kind of helping out and stuff. But instead, they started dividing my property. Like, one guy's like, well, since you're not coming back, clearly, I've heard about Nicaragua, can I have your motorcycle? Can I have your tools? Can I have your... I'm like, hey, take it easy. But as I considered that, I was like, gosh, these guys have nothing to do with Go Teams. They have nothing to do. They don't have any interest on going on a team or anything. And they expressed a fear of, like, going to a foreign country that maybe you've heard some different stories about or that invoke fear in you. And I'm like, so fear has to be kind of one of the main reasons that keep people from going on these teams. And it's not I'm afraid to get on a plane, or maybe it is, or maybe it's just I don't know what's going to happen. I just am not confident in what the next step is. And am I going to be useful? Am I going to be somebody that God can use on these teams? And so as we read through different passages and different verses, this verse really just stuck out to all of us. And we were like, this is absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. With that confident hope, just really summarized to all of us, like, this is what we need to introduce new people to the team, and anybody that's going on the team needs this hope. And I was reading a commentary on this passage or this verse, and the commentary read that this type of hope that Paul describes is not one that describes wishful thinking, but a confident expectation. And I was like, wow, what a great image of, like, we can approach these scary moments, these things that kind of just get us a little excited, but mostly nervous. And we can go into them with the expectation that, hey, if God has called us to do that, he is going to be there and he is going to walk us through every step of what we're doing, and he's going to use us despite us.
Yeah. And hope is such a powerful idea because hope is about the future. And as you were saying, we use hope differently. We use hope often to talk about wishful thinking, but it is that confident expectation of better days in the future. And the hope has always got to be based on something. So I love that here when he starts this verse by saying, God, the source of hope, which in the Greek is literally the God of hope, the God who brings hope. Our hope is not in a quarterback that we're waiting to see this afternoon to see if he can lead our team to a victory. And even on a more serious level, as we've seen this week, our hope is not in the safety of our own possessions because they can be gone in a moment when the weather changes. We have our hope fixed on God. And I love, hope is obviously kind of the theme of this verse. But you also see a couple other things. You see him saying that the God of hope will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. So quick survey. Raise your hand if you want more joy in your life. All right, good? All right, put them down. Raise your hand if you want more peace in your life. All right, trust in him. This comes not through avoiding what God is calling us to do, but by stepping forward and trusting him with confident hope. And you know what? When we think about this idea, one of the great things is that we can look at God's track record in our own lives. And in the Bible, whenever hope is talked about in the New Testament, it's hard to get very far before there's a callback to the ultimate hope instance, which is that God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. There is no, I like to say to people sometimes if like their marriage, they're having trouble in their marriage, they're having trouble with some sin in their lives, to say God has done bigger miracles than this.
Amen.
God got Jesus up from the dead. And so we get to live with this idea of confident hope. And you know, the Old Testament and New Testament are filled with examples of people living with this confident hope. And Tim, I know for you, Moses really stood out and his story being an example of this whole idea of confident hope.
Yeah, I recently kind of took a deep dive into the book of Exodus, and just learning about Moses and who he was and what he did really just helped me in my walk and really helped kind of define what we need, the attitude we need to do these go teams. Now, Moses himself was not really who you want to model your life after prior to finding God in his life and starting to follow God. In fact, he was a murderer.
Which means he probably wouldn't have made it through our elder qualifications.
Probably not. We probably would have like found somebody to partner up with him.
That's
and
true.
Like gossip and disciple
and
him.
And we would have told Stan and the gatekeepers, keep your eye
watch
on
this
guy.
He already took one guy out. But as I read and saw Moses's obedience to God, like, whenever God asked Moses to do something, he said, okay, we'll do it. And a shining example to me is in chapter 33, chapter 19, where Moses had led the people out of slavery in Egypt. Take two. And he led them to the base of Mount Sinai, into kind of the forest of Mount Sinai. And he appeared to the Israelites in a cloud and spoke to the Israelites there. And as he ascended back up to the top of Mount Sinai, he told Moses, he wanted Moses to come up with him so he could speak with him. And you would think, like, everybody would be jumping at that chance, like, oh my goodness, I get to be in the presence of God. I get to speak to God face to face. Like, I want to do this. Moses said yes. Aaron, his brother, head priest, didn't say yes. Other leaders in the Israelites, they didn't say yes. Moses did. And there's a couple reasons that others probably didn't say yes. One, there was a belief that if you saw the face of God, you would die. So that could be a bit of a deterrent. The other thing is God was at the top of Mount Sinai. It wasn't like he was right next to him where he could just kind of jog over and be, all right, what's up, God? He had to climb Mount Sinai, which was about a four and a half hour climb to get up to God. So there were some deterrents. It took some effort for God to obey, or for Moses to obey God and be in his presence. But once he did, he was in his presence for 40 days. To me, I'm like, oh my goodness, could you imagine just being able to communicate with God for 40 days like that? Which we can. Because now, if you're a follower of Jesus, we have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we can speak to God anytime we want. And God can speak back to us as long as we listen and obey to what he wants us to do. But as Moses obeyed and he came back down the mountain and God asked him to do more for to lead the Israelites and eventually get them into the promised land, we see in verse 33:11, it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. What a great image. Like, how many of us wouldn't want God to call us his friend? This is Moses' biggest reward for his obedience, for his willingness to take the 4.5 hour climb and every other step that he's taken. His reward is to be friends with God, is to have an intimate relationship with the Creator. And I think that's what we need to be willing to do when it comes to go teams, when it comes to other things that God has called us to do that might be a little bit scary, might be something that we don't feel equipped to do. The first step is just saying yes and being willing to climb that mountain and be in the presence of God.
Yeah, and I love that idea, that the connection, when we think of confidence moving forward in what God has called us to do, that's based on our confidence that we have a relationship with God, that through Jesus our sins are forgiven, that as Hebrews talks about, we can approach him with confidence. And one of the reasons that Tim's talked a lot about the Moses story, one of the reasons why I love the Moses story also is because despite what we may think of Moses when we think of this great man, you know, and if you're of a certain generation, you think of Charlton Heston boldly leading the people of Israel out, Moses was not an impressive person. In fact, this is one of his excuses to God in chapter 4 when God calls him to go to the people of Israel. It says, Moses said to the Lord in Exodus 4:10, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Some people thought that literally Moses probably had a stutter. It had some sort of speech impediment. He says, I don't speak good, God. Send somebody else. Moses was unimpressive, and yet God called him. And it's interesting because after Moses says this, we might expect God to respond by saying, Moses, you just don't see what I see. Moses, you're too hard on yourself. Moses, you would be great at this. But he doesn't say any of that. He basically agrees with Moses that he's not very good at speaking. But then in verse 12, he says this, now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say. We all come to these points where there's something that God has called us to do, and we say, I'm not adequate to this. And God's response isn't, yeah, you are. God's response is, you're right, you're not. I will go with you. I'll show you what to say. I'll teach you what to do in the moment. I was sharing with Tim this week, 2 years ago, the Franklin family, all five of us, got to go on the Rosarito Go Team. Which was awesome. So Karina and I and all three of our sons. And one of the things that was so awesome was Karina and I just getting to watch our sons be in moments they hadn't planned for and to see God move and work through them. Whether it was our youngest, David, suddenly be at the front lines of like surveying the scene of where we were about to lay a whole bunch of concrete and doing things that he definitely didn't learn from his dad, but somehow in the moment God had led him to do. Our son Jack went to the dump ministry, that if you've ever been to something like that, it's overwhelming to be in that sort of poverty and got to see God work in him as he went and prayed boldly with people. Our oldest son, Matt, sort of became our defunctory translator when we were ministering to a bunch of people at an old folks' home. He had taken some Spanish, but he said, I can't believe I was able to do what I did. Because when we step forward, God comes through. The message is not, you can do it. The message is, God will be with you. And that leads us into confidence. And so once again, back to that theme of confident hope. You know, Tim, here you are, one of the pastors of our church, speaking in front of the church family on a Sunday. You clearly are a guy brimming with confidence from day one. I say that because some of you might think, like, Tim probably just is a naturally confident guy. Tim has shared with a lot of us on staff over the years how the idea of confidence has been a major theme that God has been at work in your heart. And I'd love for you just to kind of let us behind the veil a little bit and share about how that's been, how God's been working in that in your life.
Sure. Yeah, I've struggled with self-image and self-confidence for pretty much my entire life. Just kind of believing I'm not enough, kind of believing I'm, you know, God uses me a little bit, but not really a whole lot. And I'm just kind of here and not really worthy of a whole lot. In fact, I kind of masked all of my lack of confidence in self-deprecation. I could teach a college level class on self-deprecation. I am a master at it. And I thought it was hilarious. And oftentimes people would laugh and, you know, we'd just kind of joke about it. And my wife and I were talking to a good friend of ours that's a believer and just kind of talking about this topic. And she didn't find any humor in my self-deprecation. And well, clearly she has a poor sense of humor. So it's not me, it's her. And so as we started talking, she spoke kind of prophetically. God was speaking through her to me, just saying, you know, as long as you hold on to this area of your life, this area where you just feel like you're not enough, where you're not a good person, where you're ugly, like I've created some sort of disaster here, you're not allowing God in that area at all. In fact, you're allowing Satan to run that area of your life. And by doing that, you will never get to the depth of relationship with God that you desire. And I said, nuh-uh.
And it's a solid comeback.
It really was, yeah. I felt strong and she kind of shook her head and went, uh-huh. And so I was just like, so what do I do? I've dealt with this my whole life. And like Dan was sharing, like, plenty of people said, no, you're a good guy. You're fine. You're smart. I love it. You're great to be around. And it never changed. So I'm like, what do I do? And she said, you need to get a group of guys around you. And in fact, she said, get five guys that love Jesus, that you spend time with, and have them hold you accountable. I'm like, I must really be messed up if I need five. I couldn't just use one, right? So I got this group of five guys that I really care about and just shared everything. In fact, I asked this person if she would send me a text with exactly what she said so I could reiterate it. And I read that text to him and just said, I need you. I need you to hold me accountable. I need you to allow God to work through you to allow me to surrender this area of my life. And the funny part was, I really didn't use these guys very often, because once I surrendered a little bit of that area in my life, the light started to come into that area. And so while I think I will struggle with this for the rest of my life, it is not a daily struggle where it is holding me back, where it's something that I'm just like, I'm doomed to do something insignificant in my life.
Yeah.
And
I love you sharing that, because I think there are some of you here who maybe your default setting is a higher level of confidence. I can do this. I can handle this. I know some of you are wired that way. I've shared it different times. I am not. I'm much more like Tim. my default setting is pretty insecure and not sure how I'm going to handle situations. And as Tim and I were just talking about this week, we were sharing about how it's easy to mask that level of insecurity as humility. Act like, no, I'm just so humble. No, you're not. Like that's not humility, that's lack of faith. And a big work that God has been doing in my life is, you know, again, for some who are overconfident, it's like the thing you got to work on is you got to work on pulling back at different times. For the, I don't know, 70 to 80% of us, I'm going to guess, that are more on the side that Tim described, more on the kind of insecure side, our calling often is to do the thing that it feels like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute to do. To do the scary thing and to trust not that I can do it, but that God can move through me. God has done bigger miracles than this. And God calls us to get out of our comfort zone. We cannot grow in our faith by staying in our cocoons of comfort. We grow when we step out. And Tim, you know, not to highlight Tim too much, but I just know there's been a series of you saying yes to God in uncomfortable things that's even led you to the position that you're now in, where in a few minutes you're going to walk us through our go teams. But Tim, here's what I'd like to ask just before you walk us through the go teams for this year. Let's say, I'm going to guess there's some people that have been listening to this. Maybe when they heard Go Team Sunday, they said, that's great for other people. Can't wait to hear about the other people going on these teams. Maybe even now they're more open. They're like, okay, maybe this could possibly be something I do. They feel a level of openness, but also some reluctance. Kind of, what words of encouragement would you share with somebody who finds themselves in that position?
Well, I think in this situation, like the most encouraging words I can find are from the end of Matthew 28. You didn't really think we'd go a Go Team Sunday without the Great Commission, did you? Picking up in verse 18, it says, and then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I love how Jesus bookends our Great Commission, what we're supposed to do as believers, with, I have the authority. It's on me. I know what to do. I'm going to call you and lead you to what you should be doing. And then at the end, he says, I am with you. So even after his calling, after he's called you to go do something, he's with you and he's walking with you through that calling, which is super exciting to me and super comforting. And he says to make disciples of all nations. So we are called to spread his word. And that is the whole theme of Go Teams. The whole reason we do Go Teams is to bring God's word to all nations. Mm-hmm. There are three kind of major ways that you can be part of Go Teams, and it all depends on where God is calling you. Obviously, you can be part of a Go Team. Now, everybody, not even everybody in this room can go on a Go Team. Not even everybody in this section could probably go on a Go Team. We have limited spaces, so not everybody's going to have that call. But if you do have that call, please do not ignore it. Please come talk to one of us. And if you have fears, you're not the only one. There's fears about going to different cities around us, much less traveling to different countries. So I would love to talk with you and pray with you about that and see if we can hear God's voice together on that. For others of you, God is leading you to support financially the Go Teams. Right now we have a section on the website, and we also have a QR code outside where you can scan it, and you could give to Go Teams in general. It just goes, whatever you give at this point will go to all of the Go Teams. But that's not insignificant. One of the most difficult parts for me going on Go Teams is asking people for money. But it's also one of the ways that God really showed me his faithfulness. Because people gave money to me that don't believe and Jesus don't really even understand what I'm going to do, but know that I'm going to help people. And so they wanna support me. So if above and beyond your tithe, if you believe that God is calling you to give to Go Teams, please obey that. And if you're a follower of Jesus, the Great Commission belongs to all of us. So I believe everybody in this room is called to pray for us. So there are several things I would love for you guys to pray for. Pray for these teams as they establish, that people hear the call of God, and that that there is not one person that is called to go on one of these teams that doesn't go on the team. Pray for the people that we are about to meet. Pray now that they meet with us, that we have the opportunity to share the gospel with them, that there are lives changed in the different countries that we go to through either acts of service or just talking and praying with people. Also, pray that the people that go on the teams come back different. They come back knowing Jesus in a much more significant way. Pastor Jeff, our youth pastor, says in youth group, we don't want to leave the same door we came in. We want to see God in a completely different way when we get back than when we left. So those are some great ways for you all to be involved with Go Teams this year.
Yeah, and I want to real briefly just add in a couple things before Tim breaks us through the teams. Two things that I think are true of all of us. One, you do have a gift. Amen. If you're a believer in Jesus, you have a gift. God is the one who does the work, but you have something to contribute. And number two, we all need things like this. As Tim said, your calling for this year might not be a Go Team. We need steps of faith that feel risky. Otherwise, we will stagnate in our walk. You can't grow closer to Jesus without taking risky steps of faith. And so with that, Tim, we always use the term we. As you said, we can't all as individuals go on one of these teams and get on an airplane and get on a bus, but this is where we as a church are going this year. So why don't you walk us through the six trips that we're doing this year for Go Teams?
I'd love to. All right. So our first team is Baja, Mexico. We partner with Baja Christian Ministries, and it is over Memorial Weekend. It is May 23rd through June. No, that's not right. Through May 25th. Sorry. We leave Friday afternoon. We come back sometimes Sunday late afternoon. And in that time, we build two complete houses. It is an incredible thing to see if you've never seen it. The advantages to this trip, and if you look down at the bottom there, you'll see a difficulty rating. I've kind of rated the trips 1 through 5, 1 being kind of an easy trip, 5 being a more difficult trip. And that doesn't mean if you've never been on a team, you can't do a level 5 trip. It just kind of gives you a little heads up on, like, you're going to be on a plane for a little bit to get to Thailand or get to Africa or something. And it just makes the trip a little more difficult. But this one is amazing because it's family friendly. You have time to minister to people in the community, and you can try your hand at building a house and painting and do some amazing things that God uses in powerful ways. It's an amazing thing to hand the keys to the families that get these houses for the very first time.
Real quick, just because this is a trip more people go on, raise your hand if you've ever been on one of the Go Baja teams before. You see a whole bunch of people in there. Yeah. If you don't talk to Tim, talk to one of them. They'll tell you how great it is.
Our next trip is Alaska. This is another returning trip. We partner with Tenalium Bible Camp, and they have a very unique program where they do camps for all age kids. This is a basketball camp for junior high and high school students. Now, you're like, I don't know how to play basketball. That's fine. We do need some people who have basketball skills. We have one or two already. But so if you are proficient at basketball, if you've ever coached your kid's team, if you've ever played basketball, that's a big plus because we definitely need you on this team. The reason we level this trip at a 4 is because these, even though it's a domestic trip, there are some major cultural differences with the students that you're going to be encountering. They come from rural Alaska typically, and they've experienced things that most of us never will have to experience. There's a high rate of suicide, drug use, parents leaving them. They've been through a lot of stuff. And so this trip is for people who care about junior hires and high schoolers and have a pretty strong faith, that are willing to share the gospel with these students. And basketball helps. So the next trip is our first new trip that we're, or our only new trip that we're doing this year, and it's to Malawi, Africa. We will be partnering with Malawi Wheels, which was started by a couple here at the church that they were in Malawi and saw a need for wheelchairs. The Malawi is often one of the top 10 poorest countries in the world. And the kids there, if they're born with disabilities, oftentimes the dad just leaves the home, so it leaves the mom up to caring for them. So in order to get the child around, the mom will put the child on her back and haul her around. Well, eventually the kid gets too big to do that, and that child is not able to leave the house. So Malawi Wheels builds wheelchairs for the kids, and they also deliver Bibles to the family, and they just have a powerful ministry going over there. We also partner with Action International. They have a missionary over there that's full-time. She's been there for a few years, and so we're going to partner with her. We'll do a VBS. We'll help deliver some wheelchairs. We will do some support groups for the moms that need the support, and we'll also be part of just the general ministry that's happening in Malawi. We then are going to Honduras. Honduras is an amazing trip. This is an Exit 83 trip. XA3, whoop, whoop. So if you are an Exit 83 student, currently an Exit 83 student, meaning you'll be in eighth grade and above next year, this trip is for you. It's also parents, if you have any interest in going with your child, that is also a possibility. We partner with Orphanage Emmanuel, where you get the opportunity to minister to over 300 kids in this orphanage. It is very impressive. We help out kind of just with some of the maintenance that they need in the orphanage. We do Bible studies with them, go to church, worship through music. We get destroyed in soccer with them. And it's really, really a great opportunity. So if you're a parent of an Exit 83 student and you're like, I think this would be cool, but I'm a little concerned about some things, totally understandable. Talk with Jeff Taylor, Laura Taylor, Ryan Soule, talk to myself, any one of us that have been on this trip, and we will calm your nerves as much as we possibly can. Then we have Thailand. Thailand is our last trip. That one's in October. And we partner with Bonnie Manuel and Ron Miller. Ron Miller has been a full-time missionary in Thailand for over 35 years. And he's 83 and can run circles around me. The guy's an amazing man of God that has started 5 orphanages in Chiang Rai, Thailand. So we will have the opportunity to hang out and minister to the kids in these orphanages. We also get to go to these villages, kind of some real remote villages that Ron has relationships with, and we get to do outreaches there where we tell people about Jesus, we play games with them. This last time we did a skit. That was interesting, but man, God did some incredible
thing. We're waiting on the video.
Yeah, the video. So. It's miraculously it's been deleted. I don't know how. But God used it in big ways, which I don't know how, but he did. So, and so this one is a level 5 difficulty, and that is mainly because the travel. The travel is it's a long trip to get over to Thailand, and we have food, weather, and The food, I think, is fantastic. Some people struggle with it, but I think the food is great, so take that for what you will. But it is, it's an amazing trip. It has quickly become one of my very, very, very favorite places to go. Then we have LBF Disaster Relief. Now, this has traditionally been a Samaritan's Purse trip where we wait for something to happen that's been in Texas or Florida typically. And once a disaster hits, Samaritan's Purse puts the call out, we sign up for the trip and we go. You can see the difficulty in making this a go team because we don't know when we're going to go. We don't know where we're going to go. People have jobs, people have lives, and it's very difficult to just drop everything and go. So what we decided to do is we are establishing the LBF Disaster Relief Team. So if you have a flexible schedule, you can leave, be ready to go within 2 weeks. Whether you have the most understanding boss in the world, or you own your own company, you're retired, whatever, you're able to go within 2 weeks, and you have a heart to serve domestically in helping people that are experiencing disaster, rebuilding their houses, or just tarping roofs for hurricanes, or all different types of opportunities. This is the trip for you. We're hoping to get about 20 people on this team, and when the disaster comes in, we will put the call out, get the first 10 or so that can go, and hopefully if the team establishes itself well enough, we can do a couple trips this year. Now, there's probably a lot of you going, well, there's a disaster a couple miles up the freeway. Are we going to do anything for that? Samaritan's Purse has put the call out. We've told them we're interested in helping, and we are just waiting for them to get back to us. There's not much you can do while the fires are still active. They have to be put out, and then we can go. Those are our 6 go teams for this year.
Yeah. Mm.
So this is exciting. Some familiar, some new, different things happening. We are excited. And again, as Tim already mentioned, today is a day not for you to feel like, I got to go from 0 to 60, didn't even know we were going on trips, to decide to go on a trip. Today is a day just to say, if you feel God stirring in your heart, any level, then when you go outside, just get some interest. Show some interest, get some information, and see where God leads you, because we want to be a part of what God is going to do as we look to spread his light. So to close our service, I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to close just by once again reading our passage. That's a great benediction as we go out. And here's actually what I'd like to invite us to do. Instead of just me reading this over us, we have it up on the screen. I'd love for us to read this together to own this idea of the confident hope that we can have. So let's read this together as our benediction.
I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. God bless you the rest of this Sunday.